Riot erupts after migrant swarm steamrolls US National Guard troops. A landmark lawsuit drops a bombshell on the FDA's Orwellian lie about ivermectin, and former Texas Representative Ron Paul warns the public to prepare for a black swan event. Those stories and more tonight. I'm Maria Z of ZMedia.com, and this is Vigilant Fox's Media Blackout. I want to assure Americans that as someone currently living outside the US, we are all watching in horror as the Biden administration puts your troops and citizens at risk with their wide open border policy in what appears to be motivated purely by a desire of the Democrats to cheat in the next elections and flood mail-in ballots with votes from illegals. But if it wasn't obvious enough that this situation has gotten completely out of control, beyond anything that can possibly be explained away by simply touting the popular terms racist, white supremacist, extremist, or whatever label they want to throw at those who want to stop this absolute invasion of America. The footage coming out of the southern border this week just cemented it in for the whole world. A riot has erupted after migrant swarm breaches the US southern border and the National Guard was left helpless. Shocking scenes were caught on tape in El Paso, which technically is in Texas but may as well be in Mexico, on Thursday afternoon when a massive swarm of angry illegal aliens stormed the key choke point to the US southern border, breaking through the border wall and steamrolling National Guard troops. And for those that are still unconvinced that this nation is being invaded, this video of illegals storming the border today should convince you otherwise. Let's take a look. Meanwhile, we have a migrant TikToker with apparently over 500,000 followers telling other illegals how to invade homes in America. Take a look at this.
Mi gente, he pensado invadir una casa en United States. Ya que me enteré que existe una ley que dice que si una casa no está habitada, podemos expropiarla. Capichi, muchachos, aquí en United States también se aplica la de invasión de terreno. Y creo que ese será mi próximo negocio. Invadir casas abandonadas, ya que me he buscado unos códigos con mis amigos africanos. Y me dijeron que ya llevan como 7 casas expropiadas. Y como dice el dicho, papi, hay que buscar la vuelta. Y la vuelta ahorita mismo es invadir casas. Ya que nos encontramos en situación de calle y es la única manera que tenemos para no vivir en la calle y no ser una carga pública. Capichi, la ley dice que las casas abandonadas, deterioradas y que esté en mal estado, podemos llegar y repararlas, vivir en ellas y si podemos venderlas, hasta pedir créditos con ellas. ¿Qué dicen ustedes?
So there you have it, America. Illegals are teaching each other not only how they're going to invade your country, but also uninhabited homes and exploit your country's laws while doing so. And it really is getting out of control. This video is very concerning because progressive squatting laws are getting completely out of control. These laws are being abused, and according to the article on the Vigilant News Network, the landlords are being screwed. For instance, and you can watch this video linked in the article, a woman who found her home full of people squatting illegally was arrested this week for changing the door locks, her own door locks. She was arrested for changing the locks on her own home because it was being invaded and taken over by people who should not even be in the country in the first place. So there's a battle in the courts as to whether the state of Texas is allowed to stop hordes of violent illegals and thieves coming into their country. But Americans and Texans specifically are increasingly taking matters into their own hands to protect their country, and can you blame them? The one thing the Biden administration doesn't want you to know is that it's not just some angry racist mob against this invasion like CNN or MSNBC would have you believe. The good people of the land actually have the full support of local law enforcement. No one knows this better than Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers, who's been working with them at the border. He joins us now to discuss. Lieutenant Colonel Chambers, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for reaching out.
Of course. We know that you have been on the border fighting for the rights of your country to protect itself and raising so much awareness on this. So we are grateful for you. The whole world is watching, Lieutenant Colonel Chambers. This invasion, this riot that has erupted at the border, I mean, everyone's watching in horror. It's not really new because this invasion's been taking place for some time, but this riot in particular has sparked a lot of controversy. Talk to us about what happened.
Right. So, you know, we see different hotspots or different shiny objects on the border rise from month to month. It's a different spot. It's a different place. We might placate Eagle Pass, and the next thing you know, then something like El Paso flares up. So in this particular case, this was a mob situation where they were pushing up against the triple strand concertina, the wire. Okay, so that's wire. When we say triple strand, there's three of them mounted together in kind of a triangle, and it should stop them. However, the barricade that was there that was created as well, and the gate that was there was what the contested area was. And that is the Texas National Guard, and that is specifically a military police unit. And they were not prepared for this push. Now, bear in mind that this particular area that you have the wire in front of, about 200-300 meters in front of the Trump wall, the actual wall. But in El Paso, because it's a very liberal city, they stopped the building of that wall. So there's huge gaps in that Trump wall. So they can just go right around it. So the National Guard built in front of it this wire. Now, the soldiers that were on the ground basically were holding them off. Now, here's as of this morning, speaking to the commander on the ground, a friend of mine that's in that unit, what we have was two soldiers that were transported to the hospital, not in critical condition, doing okay, just minor injuries, but this is a sign of escalation when you see people actually pushing up against the soldiers, and it's just going to continue, because before it would be, well, they're going to go around, they'll just go a different place, you know, that kind of thing. Now what we're seeing is them pushing through. But we always got to keep in mind that when we see something like this, this bright, shiny object, that something's happening in the periphery. Something's happening to the left or the right, downstream, upstream, on the Rio Grande. That's now what we're looking for. Now, I'm not down there right now. That's 1,200, well, it's about 11,000 miles away from me right now, so I can't get to that side that quick. But that's what we deal with on a day-to-day basis, is this whack-a-mole, we call it, this game of let's try to figure out where they're going to be and try to fill in the gaps. And this is, we don't have enough troops to do that right now.
So you use the words escalation, and I think it's clear to everyone that's watching this that there is an escalation. Do you think that that has something to do with the fact that we have illegals on TikTok telling other illegals how to invade homes in America? I mean, they've become so brazen in the ways in which they're encouraging. I know Michael Yon some time ago shared a video that was circulating on social media in China showing the route of how illegals can come in through the country. I mean, it is so brazen right now. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So from my time on the border in uniform a couple of years ago when I started, two years ago, it has gotten from, just family units, typical family units coming across seeking asylum or not seeking asylum, but wanting to come across the river. Now it's the emboldened, hardcore males, typically. December 12,000 came across in Eagle Pass. We got this El Paso situation, and they're being emboldened, and they're being more risk. Their risk adversement has gone at this point right now. They are willing to stand toe to toe, and it did come to blows, and two soldiers were transported. So we know that the rules of engagement that we have right now, which are lightly built, that are just for the typical family unit type of thing, advise, assist, and to notify the Border Patrol, who is not doing their job anyway because they're stuck doing the accountability process for these migrants in the background. So the Border Patrol, their very definition of that word, is not being adhered to. This is still the problem with Mayorkas, the head of the DHS, Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security. So that gentleman there, they brought him up, tried to impeach him. It didn't happen. We're still doing it ourselves in Texas. Rules of engagement have got to change.
Absolutely agree. But now there's this battle going on with the court. So the Supreme Court is permitting Texas police to arrest people who illegally cross the border. The ruling has allowed Texas to start enforcing SB4, while a lawsuit over its constitutionality remains pending before a federal appeals court. So, I mean, this back and forth is absolutely ridiculous. It's clear what needs to happen here. Probably building a wall would have stopped it in the first place, but I digress.
Right. Yeah. Building the wall would actually channel them into areas that we could control. And that's what the point of the wall is. You can't wall off the whole thing when there are houses, actually people that live directly on the river. You would wall them out of America. So there are places like that. There are certain areas that are really uninhabitable, that are jungles, essentially, in certain parts of the Southeast down there by Brownsville. So you can't wall off the whole thing, but you can channel. And that's the point, because the interesting traffic, and what I call that, means the people that come from the Middle East that might have terrorist background, or any place for that matter. There are Venezuelans that are coming across under Venezuelan documents. All right. But they originated from Iran. So there's a tight Hezbollah Venezuelan connection. So these people with these documents are actually Hezbollah members from Iran who've learned to speak Spanish, who have documents from Venezuela, who are coming through as a Venezuelan. However, they are affiliated with Hezbollah, Hamas, any other sort of organization, the Tren de la Alagua, the Venezuelan cartel, the Cartel del Sol out of Venezuela, the strongest cartels that nobody ever talks about because they're not right on our border. They're pushing this up to create this chaos at the border, so they continue to compete for dollars, whether it comes from an NGO or from drug sales or gun sales or the sales of human beings in the form of transporting them across for sex slavery, work slavery, or just to indentured servitude, right? Just you owe us money, and they pay them. They were, at the time that I was down the border, they were making $400 million a month in just one sector on the border. And when I say they, that's the Cartel del Noreste. Wow. So now we see what's going on when the numbers have quadrupled, and that the same thing's happening with that money. And what does that do? That emboldens them. It gives them tools. It gives them money. It gets them more dangerous people to come across, as we saw in different scenarios in December with the Venezuelans that were released from prison. So this makes it more dangerous for us in this area. This is now I used to say semi-permissive environment. Now we are in a non-permissive environment on the border in certain areas. And I don't want to talk about escalation to put people fear into people's minds and hearts, but I want there to be a reality to understand that this is why we, the people, have taken this into our own hands legally and lawfully, with local municipalities that will work with us, that are constitutional, because there is a constitutionality in our actions, in that the sheriffs can deputize. They can work with us. If we can only just find and fix a location on a bad guy, that's what we're going to do. And we're doing it. We're not asking for permission.
Well, I'm certainly glad to hear that. And I agree with you that we don't want to make people fearful. However, the reality is that the Biden administration and whoever's really running it, are clearly facilitating these potential terrorists coming into the country. We have an escalation just this week, as at the time of this recording, a terrorist attack in Russia, still debate over who is definitely responsible for that. ISIS has claimed responsibility, a lot more needing to be uncovered there. But the point is, you have the very real risk of terrorists coming through. You have a lot of terrorists not happy with the United States right now because of the situation in Israel. Whatever people think about this, there is a very real possibility of an attack on America. This is why the border needs to be secured. Your comments.
There is 100% chance that there are terrorist cells in this country right now that have come across this border in the last 6 months to a year during the Biden administration. At least 100 some odd in the first quarter were identified and rolled up, essentially. But if you tell me that, then I have to think of the gotaways, and that's the fancy term that they use for, well, we saw them, but they got away from us. Now this is, how technical they've gotten, but that if that's the case, then there are cells in here who have ill intent. And that is exactly why we need to start thinking, and we are former military, former law enforcement citizens that are advising and assisting and telling us where these people are, so that we can start bringing this in. And look, as you speak, and venues like yours, that's what's getting people to understand this, and they're asking the questions and they're pushing it with their legislators. We're just not seeing the action on Capitol Hill yet to where we like it, although we are seeing some allies being formed. And there is still hope.
Absolutely. And now is the perfect time. I mean, any time before an election is the time to apply pressure to the people running. It's quite simple. If there's enough noise, they'll do something about it. So I think the people need to capitalize on the fact that there is an election this year, regardless of which way they think it'll go, because you could be, even applying pressure on Democrats, or even, if there are Republicans that are silent on this issue, it will force them into action, as well as simultaneously the people taking these matters into their own hands, which it seems like there is no other option at the moment, Lieutenant Colonel Chambers.
Yeah, there are three different types of people in my book that are extremely afraid right now, and that are globalists that are operating organizations that are controlling a lot of this stuff because they know they're going to be found out. Number one. Number two, the left. The left is extremely afraid. Aside from a stealing of the election, if and when, and I'm going to be optimistic that they lose this, they will never be in control again. Number three, it's the rhinos on the right, the Republicans in name only, the cowards, the that have sold their souls. They're afraid too, because they will lose their seats. And I promise you that some of them will be held for treason.
Lieutenant Colonel Chambers, we are very, very grateful for your time. Thank you for this crucial update. I'm sure we'll be in touch again with you very, very soon. God bless and stay safe.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much for the time.
Well, we are extremely grateful to Lieutenant Colonel Chambers and all of those who seek to protect the United States from foreign invaders. Godspeed. Now, something is up. Something big. Something suspicious. You can't quite pinpoint it, but you can't deny it either. All you have to do is trust your gut. Listen to it and prepare with My Patriot Supply. Since 2008, My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families prepare for the uncertain future. Many of them choose 3-month emergency food kits. With 22 food and drink varieties, there'll be no food boredom. With over 2,000 calories per day, there'll be no starvation. And sealed inside ultra-durable 4-layer packaging, these ready-hour meals last up to 25 years in storage. Stock up on all the food kits your family needs at our website, preparewithvnn.com. You'll get each kit for $200 off. Protect yourself, protect your people. Get your kits at preparewithvnn.com. They'll ship fast and free. Preparewithvnn.com. Well, the executive director of Bill and Hillary Clinton Airport has been shot in the head by federal agents. Brian Malinowski, the executive director of the Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport, was shot in the head by federal agents on Tuesday following a firefight at his residence in West Little Rock. Early Tuesday morning, around 6 a.m., Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives, or the ATF agents, arrived at the 53-year-old's home to serve a warrant when they were met with a gunfire from within the house, Daily Mail reported. The Arkansas State Police have confirmed that Malinowski was the individual who fired on the agents, prompting them to return fire. The specifics of the warrant and the reasons behind the ATF's involvement at Malinowski's residence are still under wraps, as authorities have refrained from commenting further due to the ongoing investigation. Now, we do have an update on that story. The Daily Mail is revealing that the 53-year-old Malinowski died in the hospital at noon on Thursday, citing officials from the Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport. Some troubling questions have also emerged regarding the official narrative and the incident itself. The Gateway Pundit notes that the specifics of the warrant and the reasons behind the ATF's involvement at Malinowski's residence remain a mystery, as authorities have refrained from commenting further, ostensibly due to the ongoing investigation. Matthew Malinowski, Brian's brother, told Fox News, struggled to find a reason why the ATF targeted his brother. He speculated that his brother may have brought something he shouldn't have. Quote, "It's all speculation at this point. I got a feeling that he bought something he shouldn't have. That's the only thing I can think of." The brother then told NBC that his brother had no choice but to defend himself, and the official story, quote, "stinks to high hell." The brother further noted that his brother was well-connected with senators, earned $253,000 a year, lived in an upper-middle-class suburb, and had collections of guns and coins. Why would he risk this all in a suicidal fight with federal agents? He had so much to lose, Matthew said. As the Gateway Pundit previously reported, Brian Malinowski worked in the airline industry for more than 30 years. He had leadership roles at Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood International Airport, El Paso International Airport in Texas, and Lehigh Valley International Airport in Pennsylvania. The experienced professional joined Clinton National in 2008 as Director of Properties, Planning and Development before being promoted to Deputy Director 1 year later. He then assumed the role of Executive Director in 2019. I'm sure we'll have more on that as it emerges. Ron Paul has warned the public that they need to prepare for an unpredictable Black Swan event. In a thought-provoking interview with Tucker Carlson, former Texas Representative Ron Paul advised the public to brace themselves for a potential Black Swan event, a rare event with severe consequences that cannot be predicted. During a detailed discussion on the Tucker Carlson show, Paul reflected on the current geopolitical tensions and how he had foreseen the potential for conflict in regions like Ukraine in 2014, long before mainstream recognition. Ron Paul, recognized for his consistent principles and foresight into economic and foreign policy, used the platform to express his concerns about unexpected, significant events that could catch the world by surprise. He said, "I think we're reaching this point where some sudden thing is going to happen. I believe in that theory of the black swan. Yes, it's going to pop up and it's not going to be controllable." Let's take a listen.
Reaching this point where some sudden thing is going to happen. I believe in that theory of the black swan.
Yes.
It's going to pop up and it's not going to be controllable. But people, you ask, what can they do? I think the most important thing is understand what's going on, is education. That's why I happen to have a homeschooling program, and I try to teach this stuff early, because you can't change it. You can't go in and say, okay, you want $50 an hour? We can't do that, but we'll have a compromise with the other people. We'll just give you $32 per hour, you know, guarantee. That kind of nonsense. You have to be able to, you know, tell them what they have to do. One is to protect the money. One is to protect your wealth. But when I go through this, when people really want to know some details and I get a little more in detail, I said, but really, really the most important thing you do is study and understand what's going on. Because if you come away from that and you're able to accumulate a lot and get by and you have your guns and you have stored food and all that, it's not going to work. You have to understand what's happening. You have to know it's coming. It's very, very dangerous. And that's why I love to see smaller units of government. Anything that hints that says they're springing up an idea in our states to act like they ought to act.
Yes.
And they're starting to, you know, they're starting to get more independent.
As we saw there, he was also advocating for a more decentralized approach to governance where states act more independently, and this definitely seems to be on the rise. Both Ron Paul and General Flynn have warned of a coming Black Swan event, an unpredictable event that could change the course of history. Unfortunately, it appears that Black Swan events are becoming all too common. Russia has demanded answers from the US over Moscow attack that left at least 40 dead, as at the time of this reporting, that death count is increasing. This was updated at 1950 Eastern Time. The initial reports that ISIS has claimed responsibility for the terror attack in Moscow appeared rumor at first and has still been subject of widespread scrutiny and debate. However, US media and government officials are saying that the Islamic State statement is authentic. What's more is that US intelligence knew there was to be an imminent attack on Moscow. The United States collected intelligence in March that Islamic State Khorasan, known as ISIS-K, the branch of the group based in Afghanistan, had been planning an attack on Moscow, according to officials. ISIS members have been active in Russia, one US official said, according to more from the New York Times. The Kremlin had earlier in the day demanded answers of Washington explaining why the US embassy in Moscow issued an alert earlier this month for all US nationals to avoid public venues and be extra vigilant. Now, it's clear to anyone who's been paying attention that public confidence in media, official government statements, and the intelligence agencies is completely gone. No one believes them anymore. We presume that, as with Nord Stream, it's going to take some time to quantify exactly what happened in Moscow, but one thing is certain. The United Nations warned their political declaration, which was passed in September of 2023 by the UN, despite 11 countries disagreeing with it, by the way, that Black Swan events were coming. The political declaration, in a nutshell, states that if things get too out of control, the head of the UN assumes world power. Can we expect to see more of these terrifying events as the globalists inch towards realizing their dreams of a one-world government? We'll let you decide. One thing is for certain, we have to be ready for anything, and of course our thoughts and our prayers are with those victims in Moscow. Now, another huge problem that Americans are facing, and not just Americans, this problem is widespread, is debt. A FICO report announced that the average credit score in the United States dipped for the first time in a decade, indicating Americans may be struggling with financial distress as they endeavor to make timely credit payments and bolster their savings. Ethan Dornhelm, FICO's VP of Scores and Predictive Analysis, identified a lack of savings buffer in households as one likely culprit for the lower credit scores. As the COVID-19 pandemic subsided and consumer spending increased, data showed a drawdown of savings among American households. The national average FICO score, the commonly used yardstick for creditworthiness, logged at 718 from April to July 2023. By October, the average slipped to 717, indicating the possible impact of inflation and high interest rates on consumers' finances. FICO says their data shows missing payments and climbing consumer debt levels are having a considerable impact on decreasing credit scores. If you ever ask yourself at the end of the month, where did all my money go? It could have something to do with this. Credit card interest rates have shot up 47%. In fact, half of Americans are concerned they'll never pay off their debt. So if you're in debt and it feels like there's no escape, you're not alone. There's a new company with an innovative strategy that can help you get out of debt. Done With Debt is a consumer advocate firm specializing in new debt relief strategies. I've asked Done With Debt executive Michael Pearson to join me to share their strategies and advice for ending debt permanently. He joins us now. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Maria. I appreciate your time as well.
It's great to see you. Well, I want to know a little bit about you and why you're so passionate about freeing Americans from debt. Talk to us about your journey a little bit.
Well, the journey started a long time ago here, trying to help people resolve their debt. And the main thing is the hopelessness I was noticing in the general public, where they feel like there's no other help but dealing with these creditors and loan companies and secured debt, and just see no way out except for a bankruptcy, which is terrible, having that any record for 7 to 10 years. So one of the biggest passions is helping people, and there's no alternative to settle debt without having to go through that and without staining your record for almost a decade. So that's the biggest passion here for our firm, myself here. It's being director of compliance at DWD, done with that.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, a growing problem in every country, really, Michael. You know, as the cost of living goes up, as interest rates skyrocket, I mean, so many people are struggling post-COVID especially. I want to ask you, you know, credit card loans and interest rates have really skyrocketed. How does this affect most Americans?
This is the biggest problem that I see, that interest rates are uncontrollable, right? We have no control over it. So the debt keeps going up and up and up, right? Your payments keep going up and up and up. And a manageable situation becomes almost impossible. You throw in inflation and just the cost of basic things like groceries, rent, car payments. We're getting hit from every single side. And at this there's a point where you realize it's going to take you years, if not decades, if you can even get out of your debt.
Yeah, it's absolutely crippling for so many people. But what happens is that most people look to more loans to fix the problem, but that actually makes it worse. So what does Done With Debt do that's different?
Amazing. You hit that. That's a perfect question for me. Yeah, most people do try to get a loan to put all the debt together. The problem with that is that it's a higher interest rate, right? Right now, the average loan, consolidation loan for debt, it's almost 30%. It's about 29.99%. What we do, we aggressively have strategies to get this thing under control. And the main thing is to get it under control fast, and our negotiators get in front of your credit card companies and help you with this, us stopping interest from accumulating, and we negotiate what you owe. Our experts know the hardship exceptions, and most of these loan companies will not tell you, or they don't want you to know. And we get in there with our clients, so the threatening calls and letters stop, and so they can get their lives back. That's one of the biggest things, getting your life back and not looking over your shoulder that you're going to get a call at the collection agency or whatnot, getting their life back.
Yeah, not avoiding phone calls as well from private numbers. I know so many people do that. It is something that's always over your head when you are struggling with debt. Or what's your advice for someone struggling with debt?
First of all, there is hope. Don't feel hopeless. There is hope. We can help you. Before you make another payment to your credit card company, your creditors, give us a call, give us a ring at 888-322-1054. Or better yet, go to our website, donewithdebt.com. You answer a couple easy questions, and one of our debt experts will call you, and they'll take you through a free consultation. It costs you nothing. We don't charge anything up front. We don't charge anything until we start settling your debts. So we have nothing to lose. Give us a call or go to the website, donewithdebt.com. Once again, that's donewithdebt.com. We'll help you.
Well, I'm just looking at the website now. Three easy steps. It looks like a very easy website to navigate. Professional support, no upfront fees, 24/7 access. You've got a simple and quick startup and registration process, streamlined and swift initiation and enrollment procedures, and signing up and getting started is a quick and simple procedure. So again, for everyone, that is donewithdebt.com. Really, really glad to have spoken with you today, Michael, and to have you on board. Looking for ways to help people. We're always so grateful for people that want to help people get free. So we really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. We're here to help. Thank you so much, Maria, for your time and I hope I'm on your channel again.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you back to talk more on this. Thank you, Michael.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Well, a lawsuit has dropped a bombshell on the FDA's Orwellian lie about ivermectin. The FDA has lost its war on ivermectin and apparently agreed to remove all related social media content and consumer advisories on ivermectin usage for COVID-19. This is a huge story. So in December 2021, the FDA warned Americans not to use ivermectin, which is intended for animals, to treat or prevent COVID-19. Quote, never use medications intended for animals on yourself or other people. Animal ivermectin products are very different from those approved for humans. Use of animal ivermectin for the prevention or treatment of COVID-19 in humans is dangerous, the FDA said at the time. Now, this was a very controversial statement since the FDA pushed the drug on African migrants back in 2015, and the drug was praised in several scientific journals. There have now been 101 ivermectin COVID-19 controlled studies that show a 62% lower risk in early treatment in COVID-19 patients. You can see that chart there. A group of brave doctors had filed a federal lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the FDA over the agency's unlawful attempts to block the use of ivermectin in treating COVID-19. The lawsuit, filed in the U.S. Southern District of Texas in Galveston, argues that the FDA has overstepped its authority and unjustifiably interfered with their medical practice. The plaintiffs, Drs. Mary Talley Bowden, Paul E. Marrick, and Robert L. Apter, are contesting the FDA's portrayal of ivermectin as dangerous for human consumption. They note that the FDA has approved ivermectin for human use since 1996 for a variety of diseases. However, they allege that with the advent of the COVID-19 pandemic, the FDA began releasing documents and social media posts discouraging the use of the antiviral drug for COVID-19 treatment. We're suing the FDA for lying to the public about ivermectin, said Dr. Bowden. Claims were made that the initial article misrepresented the law by stating the FDA's official stance against ivermectin use without mentioning that doctors were allowed to administer the medicine. Now, US law is cited in the complaint, including the provision that the FDA may not interfere with the authority of a healthcare provider to prescribe or administer any legally marked device to a patient for any condition or disease within a legitimate healthcare practitioner-patient relationship. And on Thursday, the US Food and Drug Administration reportedly agreed to remove all its previous social media posts and consumer advisories that specifically address the use of ivermectin for the treatment or prevention of COVID-19. And you can see some of those here. FDA, you are not a horse. You are not a cow. Seriously, y'all, stop it. Hold your horses, y'all. Ivermectin may be trending, but it still isn't authorized or approved to treat COVID-19. Now, another reason why this case may be extremely significant in holding the COVID criminals accountable is that emergency use authorization for the injections was given based on the claim that there were no suitable therapeutics available at the time. The Australian Therapeutic Goods Administration, or TGA, went so far as to ban ivermectin completely in timing that correlated precisely with the COVID injection rollout. This new victory against the FDA could actually have widespread consequences for those who lied to the public and purposely withheld life-saving treatment from them. We'll be keeping a close eye on this. Now, for anyone who managed to sit through the painful interview with Don Lemon and Elon Musk, where the former CNN host, who was fired after a series of public instances of emotional outbursts and fragility on air, you would have seen several attempts at relentless gotcha moments, race baiting, and a sheer obvious cry for relevance from Mr. Lemon, who appears to be more sour than the fruit whose name he carries. But the interview did end on an emotional and insightful statement from the world's richest man and seemingly the most powerful juggernaut of free speech of the modern era, Elon Musk. After enduring an hour of Don Lemon's politically charged questions and constant attempts at gotcha moments, billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk emerged from the interview with the public perception of holding the moral high ground. Let's take a listen.
Have the past few years, and considering everything that's gone on, has it been difficult for you and your family life?
It's been okay.
So then how do you see your legacy, Elon? How do you see how
First of all, I say that the if I died knowing that I did what was right or did my best to do what was right, and even if in the history books they said I did wrong, I would still feel okay about that. I care about the reality of goodness, not the perception of it. I think we should view civilization as tenuous, as fragile. If you do study history broadly, you'll see that there's a rise and fall to civilizations. They don't always go up. So we should do everything we possibly can to preserve and extend civilization as we know it.
Yeah.
And improve it. To become more enlightened over time. And we therefore want to address civilizational risks. We want to make sure that we don't have, for example, demographic collapse, which is the case in a lot of countries, just very low birth rate. We want to avoid World War III. Anything that is a civilizational risk. That's what I care about, civilizational risks. How do we extend consciousness into the future such that we are able to better understand the nature of reality?
Yeah.
That's what I care about. That's my motivation.
Now, the CDC has been hit by a new bombshell warning from Robert Kennedy Jr. His message is going viral. For 75 years, that's how long Pfizer and the FDA tried to hide the Pfizer documents from public view, long after just about everyone affected is dead. It wasn't until renowned attorney Aaron Seary led a FOIA case against the FDA that a federal judge ordered the documents to be released in 108 days, the same amount of time it took the FDA to approve the COVID-19 injections. But now, the CDC, a taxpayer-funded federal agency responsible for gathering and disseminating public health information, has chosen to follow Pfizer's example by withholding pertinent information from public view. Just recently, the health agency published a 148-page report on myocarditis after COVID-19 injection. However, it seems that there is something very damning that they're trying to hide because every single word is redacted. My goodness, 148 pages and the entire thing is redacted. What good does a study do if there's nothing there? Asked registered nurse and Republican member of the Arizona State Senate, Janae Shamp, during a recent coronavirus committee hearing. World-renowned cardiologist Dr. Peter McCullough responded by declaring that we're witnessing an active cover-up of a colossal consumer product safety debacle. Pfizer recorded 1,223 deaths with their product within 90 days of release. People were calling Pfizer in desperation, watching their family members die after taking the vaccine. Well, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has weighed in, and he sounded off on the CDC on Tuesday, blasting the health agency's decision to withhold its 148-page myocarditis report from the public. He said, "The level of arrogance and contempt for the public in releasing a 100% redacted document is staggering. The CDC is thumbing its nose at the Freedom of Information Act, hinting that full or partial disclosure of the previously redacted information is inevitable." Kennedy continued, "Without transparency, there is no such thing as democracy. When I'm president, the CDC won't get to decide what the public can see. Everything will be out in the open, and you won't need a FOIA request to read any taxpayer-funded data." Public data is exactly that. Public. Your tax dollars pay for it. It belongs to you. In my opinion, every presidential candidate should be screaming about this. It would without a doubt help their campaign as the demand from the public grows louder for COVID crime accountability. Now, resolving to eat healthier this year was easy. Actually doing it? Not so easy. Better nutrition is a key to health and longevity, and a healthy diet could even help you avoid health risks that run in your family. Field of Greens is our healthy superfruit and vegetable habit. It's the only fruit and vegetable product that literally promises better health. At your next checkup, your doctor will notice your improved health or your money back. Do your vitamins or green drinks promise better health? Nope. Each superfruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was doctor selected for a specific health benefit. Some support your heart, lungs, and kidneys. Others support metabolism for healthy energy and weight loss. If you resolve to get healthier in 24, it starts with Field of Greens. We got you 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code VNN. That's promo code VNN at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. A California trans study has found remarkable increase in suicides post-operation. In fact, suicide rates doubled after surgery for transgender females who received male-to-female gender change surgeries. Everyone paying attention to how parents are being slammed with the fearful and false narrative that if they do not affirm their gender-confused child choices, that their child may commit suicide if the parents do not agree, need to comprehend that that narrative is a complete lie. A study using California government data found suicide rates double after surgery for transgender females who receive male-to-female gender change surgeries. A 2020 analysis of the entire Swedish population found there is no advantage of surgery in relation to subsequent mood or anxiety disorder-related healthcare visits or prescriptions or hospitalizations following suicide attempts in that comparison. The California study, published in the Journal of Urology, studied 859 Californians who underwent a vaginoplasty or male-to-female gender surgery and 357 who underwent phalloplasty, female-to-male surgery, for 2 years before and after their surgeries. All persons undergoing genital gender-affirming surgery were identified in California from 2012 to 2018 from the Office of Statewide Health Planning and Development data sets using appropriate ICD-910 codes, reads the California study abstract. Of those who underwent gender affirmation surgery, a similar proportion of vaginoplasty and phalloplasty recipients experienced at least one psychiatric encounter, coming in at 22.2% and 20.7% respectively. Suicide rates were higher among vaginoplasty than phalloplasty patients after their surgeries, with vaginoplasty suicide rates more than doubled from 1.5% to 3.3%, whereas phalloplasty suicide rates remain stable at 0.8% before and after surgery. Although both those patients have similar overall rates of psychiatric encounters, suicide attempts are more common in the latter, that being vaginoplasty patients. In fact, our observed rate of suicide attempts in the phalloplasty group is actually smaller to the general population, while the vaginoplasty group's rate is more than double that of the general population, reads the study. Patients undergoing gender affirmation surgery with a history of prior psychiatric emergencies or feminizing transition are at higher risk and should be counseled appropriately. Medi-Cal, the state's taxpayer-supported public health system, includes hormonal and surgical gender transitions for beneficiaries, which expanded on January 1 to include illegal immigrants. I'll let that sink in. On all those unaccompanied minors who have immigrated into the US since Joe Biden has been in the Oval Office. Covered benefits include mental and behavioral health services, hormone therapy, and a variety of surgical procedures that bring primary and secondary gender characteristics into conformity with the individual's identified gender, including ancillary services such as hair removal, incident to those services. Well, viewers of this broadcast would know that we've been warning for a very long time about the WHO pandemic treaty or IHR amendments or the various different names that they give the paths that they're taking to eventually make injections on an ongoing basis forever mandatory as per the WHO dictates, which they say is not going to overtake your country's sovereignty. And yet every single country is introducing laws around speech that seem to coincide with quote-unquote vaccine misinformation. Well, now there is a terrifying new AI tool that will find you if you don't want a vaccine. A team of researchers has developed a powerful new tool in artificial intelligence that can predict if someone is or isn't likely to get a COVID-19 vaccine. And of course, this will no doubt extend to other injections in the future. According to the University of Cincinnati, the new AI tool uses a small set of data from demographics and personal judgments, such as aversion to risk or loss, to identify reward and aversion judgment patterns in humans that may help explain one's willingness to get vaccinated. The researchers presented their findings in a study published Tuesday in the Journal of Medical Internet Research and Public Health and Surveillance. The study's findings could have broad applications for predicting mental health and result in more effective public health campaigns, the university said. Now, according to the study, despite COVID-19 vaccine mandates, many chose to forego vaccination, raising questions about the psychology underlying how judgment affects those choices. Never mind all of the data out there to prove that these injections are harmful, they want to now say that it might be due to mental health. Yes. Critics like Brian Hooker, Chief Scientific Officer for the Children's Health Defense, said that the new technology implies that those who question vaccines have mental health problems. Quote, "The whole implication here is that nonconformity to the government propaganda machine's standard of care makes one some type of mental case or extreme outlier. The whole thing smacks of a brave new world where potentially non-compliant individuals are targeted with messaging based on fear and irrationality." Hooker said the new technology is a prefabricated substitute to what big pharma and government health agencies avoid: rational discussions of science and medicine that might expose the truth about vaccine adverse events. Now, this really is using AI to target the vaccine hesitant. Nicole Vike, PhD, Senior Research Associate at the University of Cincinnati's College of Engineering and Applied Science, was the paper's lead author. She says COVID-19 is unlikely to be the last pandemic we see in the next decades. Having a new form of AI for prediction in public health provides a valuable tool that could help prepare hospitals for predicting vaccination rates and consequential infection rates. Yeah, we're sure that's the only reason they want to deploy what I see as a weapon. The study's authors said the technology could also be used to aid vaccine rollouts and healthcare preparedness by providing location-specific details. In other words, identifying geographic areas that may experience low vaccination and high hospitalization rates, according to the study. Now, critics have questioned the study's claims and also said they're worried about the potential adverse users of this technology. The main problem with research like this is the underlying premise: vaccine hesitancy must be accounted for in terms of the aberrant psychology of the subjects and not with the reference to the efficacy and safety of the vaccines in question, said Michael Rechtenwald, PhD, author of Google Archipelago, The Digital Gulag and the Simulation of Freedom. As a result, Rechtenwald said, it's implied that if people are vaccine hesitant, the fault is endemic to them rather than to the vaccine itself. From this premise, the research seeks to justify vaccination as normal by linking anomalous mental and psychological characteristics with vaccine hesitancy. This may lead to individuals being targeted, Rechtenwald said. Important quote here. Using AI to predict vaccine hesitancy on these terms might include mobilizing AI programs to target and even identify individually vaccine-hesitant subjects. We might also expect AI programs that seek to overcome vaccine hesitancy with attempts to reprogram said defective subjects. At the very least, identifying, targeting, and re-educating vaccine-hesitant subjects is in the offing. We encourage everyone to go and read that article in full as it features warnings from multiple experts about how this could be weaponized against the public. And in an age of extreme instances of surveillance, such as the police arresting pregnant women in their homes based on social media posts opposing lockdowns, that really happened in Australia, by the way. Just how far will those who seek an agenda of endless gene editing updates through mRNA go? A quick look at Moderna's pipeline shows that the big pharma giant has no intention whatsoever of halting their development of the dangerous technology. In fact, more and more countries are creating and manufacturing facilities of Moderna products, with hundreds of millions of doses expected each year around the world. Now, pair that with the constant warnings of coming pandemics. The WHO, who are predominantly funded by Big Pharma and their dreams of ruling every country's pandemic responses by demanding the public inject themselves with Big Pharma's products to either stop or even prevent a potential pandemic. Is it really too far of a stretch to imagine they would weaponize this tool to target anyone who doesn't want their products? Last time, they took your job, locked you out of society, and lied to you every day, knowing full well these injections would harm millions. without batting an eyelid. What do you think they'll do next time with this new weapon in their war chest? These are beyond Orwellian times, and the people must prepare outside of the system while we fight like our lives depend on it within the current system. Because they do. Henry Kissinger once said, "Who controls the food supply can control the people." Today, the beef industry in America is under attack. Cows have been targeted by the purveyors of the climate change hoax in an effort to promote lab-grown meat, bugs, and other alternative proteins. It behooves Americans to start building up their own stockpiles of long-term storage beef. The problem there is that the vast majority of survival beef is horrible. They use low-quality cuts and beef crumbles that are barely edible. At VigilantBeef.com, Americans can get premium cuts like ribeye, New York strip, and tenderloin. It's freeze-dried, not dehydrated, which gives it a 25-year shelf life and retains the maximum nutrition and flavor. VigilantBeef.com is a veteran-owned, America-first company out of Texas. Our listeners can save 15% by using promo code BLACKOUT at VigilantBeef.com. That's promo code BLACKOUT at VigilantBeef.com. Well, it turns out ivermectin could be a powerful drug for fighting cancer. This is particularly important as the globalists push mRNA for cancer and the rise of cancer around the world. And a stunning discovery has changed everything we thought we knew about fighting cancer. Now, the story starts, and I encourage everyone to read it in full, with an account of a gentleman who was diagnosed with terminal colon cancer in November and his journey with ivermectin. But I want to scroll down to the multiple anti-cancer effects. Quote, "There are at least 9 perfectly defined cancer targets affected by ivermectin. Dr. Alfonso Duenas-Gonzalez, an oncologist and senior researcher at the National Autonomous University of Mexico, told the Epoch Times. The first reports of ivermectin's anti-cancer properties came in 1995. Two French researchers found that ivermectin, a Nobel Prize-winning anti-parasitic drug, could reverse multi-drug resistance in tumors. The drug targets tumor stem cells, a driver of cancer tumors and relapses, and promotes cancer death." Further on down the article, it talks about ivermectin being the immune booster and talking about ivermectin as an immunotherapeutic drug for cancer. Conventional anti-cancer therapeutics such as chemotherapy and radiation therapy focus on damaging the DNA of cancer cells and killing them. At the same time, the treatments also kill immune cells and suppress the immune system, while ivermectin can kill cancer cells in a way that drives the host immune response, what we call immunogenic cell death, Dr. Lee said. They say that tumors continued to grow in mice given ivermectin alone, meaning the drug is not enough by itself. But Dr. Lee reasoned that ivermectin could synergize with immune checkpoint inhibitor anti-PD-1, an immunotherapy drug. Immunotherapy is a relatively new form of anti-cancer therapy that strengthens the body immune system to fight cancer. We encourage everyone to read that article in full on the Vigilant News Network. Everyone who's looked up into the sky in recent times knows that something is very, very wrong. Stripes that last for extended periods of time and then spread across the sky into a silvery, quite often grid-type display are not clouds. Commonly referred to as chemtrails, this phenomenon of geoengineering is not new, but it's gotten so bad, so extreme, and so prevalent across every country's skies that it can no longer be ignored. Now, for any people who have any doubt whatsoever that this is occurring, we encourage you to simply web search the terms geoengineering or solar radiation management, as they so affectionately like to refer to what is actually poisoning the public and damaging our environment and our weather in ways so many do not understand yet. But some do. And Tennessee has just taken action in the best news story that I have heard all week. The bill aims to ban the intentional release of chemtrails into the atmosphere for geoengineering purposes. The Tennessee State Senate has taken a definitive stance against the controversial topic of chemtrails by passing SB 2691 HB 2063. The bill, which aims to ban the intentional release of chemicals into the atmosphere for geoengineering purposes, was sponsored by Representative Monty Fritz, R. Kingston, and Senator Steve Sutherland of Morristown and won the approval in the Senate on Monday, the Tennessean reported. The legislation is predicated on the claim that it is documented the federal government or other entities acting on the federal government's behalf or at the federal government's request may conduct geoengineering experiments by intentionally dispersing chemicals into the atmosphere, and those activities may occur within the state of Tennessee. This new bill seeks to outlaw any such activity, stating that the intentional injection, release, or dispersion by any means of chemicals, chemical compounds, substances, or apparatus within the borders of this state into the atmosphere with the express purpose of affecting temperature, weather, or the intensity of the sunlight is prohibited. The passage of this bill marks a significant development in the ongoing debate over geoengineering and environmental manipulation. Proponents of the bill believe that it is a necessary step to safeguard the environment and public health from unregulated geoengineering practices. The legislation is set to be enforced beginning 1st of July 2024, indicating the urgency that the Tennessee Senate places on this issue for the public welfare. Attention now turns to the House, where the bill is scheduled to be reviewed by the House Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee on Wednesday. If the House passes the bill, Tennessee would become one of the first states to establish a legal framework explicitly prohibiting the spraying of chemicals for geoengineering purposes, potentially setting a precedent for other states to follow in addressing concerns around environmental and atmospheric manipulation. You can read the bill below there. Now, the Gateway Pundit previously reported that a company called Make Sunsets had successfully launched weather balloons from Mexico that may have released sulfur particles into the atmosphere. Luke Eisman, the co-founder and CEO, claims that because climate change presents such an imminent threat, bizarre interventions like theirs are necessary. And disturbingly, Make Sunsets made this attempt at solar engineering without informing the public or even attempting to engage scientists. Experts who spoke to MIT Technology Review uniformly condemned the move at the time. We encourage everyone to read the article in full on vigilantnews.com and also want to draw your attention to an expose Z Media released as part of our investigation into this topic all the way back in June of 2023. You can visit zmedia.com, click on the interviews page, and then search the terms chemtrails or smoking gun. This report is the only one in the world that I'm aware of that contains evidence directly from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in the United States of multiple completed weather modification projects using toxic, deadly chemicals in the states of Texas, Colorado, California, and many more. It also contains the contract agreement or proposal uploaded from Make Sunsets to the NOAA to conduct weather modification across all the Earth. It literally says those words. Again, it's the most damning and revealing report on this topic. And for all Americans watching this broadcast today, we encourage you to watch it as there is evidence contained within it that you could use in your state to do what Tennessee has just done. And on that extremely positive note, that's all we have time for this week. We thank you all for joining us and your continued support of this show. Please make sure to like, give us your thoughts in the comments, and share this broadcast widely. Follow Vigilant News and Vigilant Fox on X. Visit the Vigilant News Network website for regular updates, and find me on X also at Z_media. That's Z EEE_media. And find all of my work on zmedia.com. We'll be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern with the truth the mainstream media desperately does not want you to know. Until then, stay informed, stay vigilant. Good night.